Okay, think about this for a second. What could randomly shuffling cards possibly have in common with, say, the patterns in a really long string of numbers? Or even stranger, the behavior of subatomic particles? It sounds, well, kind of impossible, doesn't it? Like a riddle. But today we're taking a deep dive into a really fascinating, maybe even mind-bending corner of mathematics. It reveals these profound, unexpected connections between areas you'd think are totally separate. We're looking at a groundbreaking paper from 2001. It's by Craig A. Tracy and Harold Wyndham, and it's called Monotone Subsequences in Random Words and Pain-Leave Equations.
Right. And our mission today really is to unpack this. How do these researchers figure out that the statistical patterns you find in random words, and we'll define what that means in a moment, think sequences of letters or number, how do they figure out that these patterns behave, well, eerily, like the complex dynamics you see in systems like random matrices?
Random matrices, those sound complicated.
They can be, yeah. But they're incredibly useful. They're not just abstract math. They're used to model everything from quantum physics, like you mentioned, to financial markets. So we'll explore the surprisingly elegant math tools that bring these different worlds together.
And we're digging right into the source material here, this key paper. We've been looking closely at the abstract, the introduction, trying to get a handle on the core problem, and also, what the paper calls this flurry of activity in the field back in the late 90s.
Exactly. It was a really exciting time when these connections were just starting to emerge. You could almost feel the buzz.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Random word. That sounds simple, but in math, terms often have very specific meanings. What are we talking about here?
That's a great place to start. So imagine you've got a sequence. It has a fixed length, let's call it n, and each position in that sequence is filled with a character chosen from an alphabet of k possible options. Could be letters, could be numbers. The crucial part is that every single possible word, every sequence of length n you could possibly make, has exactly the same chance of occurring. Probability 1 over k to the n. It's properly random in that mathematical sense.
Okay, so it's a very precise definition of randomness for a sequence.
Right. And actually, it connects to something maybe more familiar, random permutations, like shuffling n distinct cards. That's basically a special case of a random word where your alphabet size k is the same as your sequence length n.
Okay, that helps anchor it. So we have these random words. Now, the paper talks about monotone subsequences. This seems key. What are those? Maybe an example.
Sure. Let's take a simple word. How about banana? B-A-N-A-N-A. An increasing subsequence would be where you pick letters out, keeping them in their original order, and each letter is the same as or comes later in the alphabet than the one before it. So in banana, you could pull out A, that's increasing, a decreasing one, maybe B, N, A, B, then N, then A. They appear in that order in banana, and they're alphabetically decreasing.
Okay, picking letters out in order, either going up or down.
Exactly. And the paper makes a little distinction that's important later. Weakly increasing means you can have repeats, like 1, 1, 2, 3. But strictly decreasing means each number must be smaller than the last one. So 5, 3, 1, but not 5, 3, 3.
Got it. And why are researchers interested in these? Is it just about finding them?
Well, not just finding them, but finding the longest possible ones. How long can you make an increasing string or a decreasing string just by picking elements out of this random jumble? It sounds simple, maybe, but asking about the length of the longest such subsequence, that question, turns out to unlock some really deep mathematical insights about the structure hidden within randomness.
Right. It's not just a game. It
Yeah.
tells you something fundamental.
Precisely. It's like asking how much order can you possibly find embedded within chaos?
And this isn't a brand new question, is it? The paper mentions earlier work, this RSK correspondence
Oh,
thing.
definitely not new. It has deep roots in combinatorics. People like Gesell were working on related things back in 1990, and the Robinson-Chinsted-Muth correspondence, the RSK correspondence, yeah, that's a classic. It's this amazing kind of mathematical translation tool. It creates a perfect one-to-one link between permutations, shuffled sequences, and pairs of these grid-like things called Young tableau.
Young tableau. Okay.
They're ways of arranging numbers in boxes, basically. Very important in combinatorics for counting and analyzing structures. So the fact that Tracy and Wyndham build on this shows they're tackling a problem with a rich history, but taking it somewhere new.
Okay, this is where my brain starts to buzz a bit. How do you actually study the distribution of these lengths? Like, what's the chance the longest increasing subsequence in a random word of length 100 is, say, 20 characters long? The paper mentions exponential generating functions. Sounds intense.
Huh. Yeah, the name is a bit much. But the idea is actually quite elegant. Imagine you have this whole list of probabilities. The probability of the longest subsequence has length 1, length 2, length 3, and so on. An exponential generating function is like a mathematical suitcase. It's a single function, usually some kind of power series, that packs all of those probabilities inside it. If you know how to unpack the function, usually by looking at its coefficients, you can get back any individual probability you want. It's a really powerful way to handle infinite sequences of numbers.
A mathematical suitcase, I like that. Mm. Packs everything neatly. And this is where the first big connection comes in, the first bridge.
Yes, exactly. It leads straight to something called Toeplitz determinants. Now, a Toeplitz matrix is just a special kind of square grid of numbers where all the numbers along any diagonal from top left to bottom right are the same.
Constant diagonals.
Right. And the really remarkable thing, the first big jump, is that these generating functions, these suitcases, holding all the probability information about subsequent lengths, can be expressed precisely as the determinants of these specific Toeplitz matrices.
Whoa. So the probability patterns are encoded in the determinant of this special matrix. Why is that so important?
Because it's structure. It's finding deep mathematical structure where you might just expect noise. The fact that it's not just any matrix determinant, but specifically a Toeplitz determinant, is the first big hint that these combinatorial patterns are linked to other seemingly unrelated mathematical physics areas where Toeplitz determinants also show up. It's like finding the same distinctive signature in two different places.
Okay, I'm following. And then the paper mentions this remarkable fact.
Yeah.
Discovered earlier, specifically for permutations, the special case where KAN, there's this distribution F2S.
Yes, F2S. This is where things get really wild. So researchers before Tracy and Windham had found that if you look at the length of the longest increasing subsequence in a random permutation and you adjust it, statistically center it, and scale it in the right way, its distribution settles down to this very specific shape as the permutation gets longer. That shape is described by the function F2S.
Okay, a limiting distribution for permutations. Keep F2S in mind, you said.
Because here's the punchline. This exact same distribution, F2S, was also discovered independently by Tracy and Windham themselves, but in random matrix theory.
No way.
Yes. They found it describes the limiting distribution of the largest eigenvalue. Think of eigenvalues as fundamental numbers associated with the matrix in a very important class of random matrices called the Gaussian Unitary Ensemble, or GUE.
Mm. So the pattern of longest increasing subsequences in shuffled cards matches the pattern of the largest eigenvalue in these complex random matrices used in physics.
Exactly that. It was a massive aha moment in mathematics. Suddenly, combinatorics and random matrix theory were talking to each other through this shared universal pattern, F2s. It hinted at something incredibly deep going on.
Wow. Okay. And then there's another layer of complexity, Painlevé equations. What role do they play?
Right. Painlevé equations. These are a special class of nonlinear differential equations. They're complicated, but they have this amazing property called integrability, which often means they have very structured, sometimes exactly solvable solutions despite their complexity. And what's fascinating is that the solutions to certain Painlevé equations are deeply, intricately connected to both the generating functions we talked about and these F2 distributions from random matrix theory. The paper specifically links Painlevé the second to the permutation case, and then crucially, Painlevé to the more general random word case they're studying. Their appearance confirms we're dealing with a really deep integrated mathematical structure here.
So these remarkable facts were known for permutations.
Right.
How did Tracy and Windham push this forward for the general random words case in this paper?
Yep.
That was their main goal, right?
Precisely. They asked the key question. Okay, these amazing connections hold for permutations where KR. Do they still hold if we look at a random word of length N from a smaller alphabet of K letters? Does this universality extend?
Right, it did it. What did their theorem show?
They show, yes, it absolutely does. So theorem one in their paper demonstrates that the generating functions for the longest weakly increasing subsequence, they call its distribution GI, and the longest strictly decreasing one, GD, and these general random words also have these elegant Toeplitz determinant representations.
So the Toeplitz structure holds up. That's big.
It is. It shows the underlying mathematical machinery is consistent. Then theorem two goes deeper. It shows that these generating functions, GI and GD, can be expressed using integrals involving solutions to the Painlevé equation. This really nails down the connection to integrable systems for the general case.
Painlevé, okay, so the specific equation changes, but the link remains.
Exactly, and there's more. Theorem 3 finds another link to random matrices, but a different kind this time. It connects the generating function gi, for weakly increasing subsequences, to the distribution of the smallest eigenvalue in something called the Laguerre ensemble of random matrices.
Smallest eigenvalue now. And a different ensemble, so the connections are even broader.
Right, it's not just GUE, it's Laguerre, too. It just reinforces this idea that these combinatorial problems are speaking the language of random matrix theory.
Okay, so lead us to the climax, Theorem 4. This sounds like the main event.
It really is the core generalization. Theorem 4 brings it all home. It states that for these general random words, alphabet size k, length n, if you look at the length of the longest weakly increasing subsequence and you center and scale it properly, its limiting distribution, as n gets large, is exactly the same F2S distribution we saw before. Specifically, the one associated with the largest eigenvalue in the Gaussian unitary ensemble, GUE, of KXK matrices.
Wow. So the same universal distribution F2S governs the longest increasing subsequences in general random words and the largest eigenvalues in GUA random matrices. That remarkable fact for permutations wasn't just a special case fluke.
Not at all. It's truly universal, at least across this broader class of random words. It's like discovering the same fundamental law of nature applies not just on Earth, but on Mars, too. Finding that same mathematical pattern, F2S, in combinatorial sequences and in random matrix eigenvalues is just profound.
It really is. So, stepping back, what's the big picture takeaway here? Why does finding the same pattern in different places matter so much?
It highlights this concept of universality. The fact that F2S, the Tracy-Widom distribution, keeps appearing suggests there are deep underlying mathematical structures controlling randomness in many different systems. It's not just a coincidence. It points towards a unified theory of random fluctuations in certain contexts.
And the paper mentions other sightings of F2s to do, right? It wasn't just these two areas.
That's right. In the introduction, they mention work they did with Borden finding similar F2 behavior for things called signed permutations and colored permutations, even more complex combinatorial objects. And Johansson found F2 describing the fluctuations in certain random growth models, like how interfaces spread. There's even a connection via Aldus and Diaconis to a card game called Patient Sorting. Its mechanics link back to Young Tableau, which links to longest increasing subsequences, which ultimately links to these F2's eigenvalue distributions. It's everywhere once you know where to look.
Patience sorting. That's amazing. So these aren't just abstract mathematical curiosities. They're real tools connecting fields, letting insights from, say, quantum physics shed light on combinatorics and vice versa.
Exactly. It provides a unified lens. These connections allow mathematicians and physicists to use tools and insights from one area to solve problems in another, which is incredibly powerful.
What an absolutely incredible journey. We started with, you know, just random sequences of letters, and we ended up talking about universal laws that connect them to quantum eigenvalues and integrable systems. It really shows the power and, frankly, the beauty of mathematics.
It really does. And it leaves you with a kind of fundamental question, doesn't it? When you find a specific, non-trivial mathematical pattern, like F2s, cropping up in so many diverse contexts, combinatorics, random matrices, growth processes, maybe even card games, what does that really tell you?
What does it tell you?
Well, perhaps it suggests that beneath the surface complexity of many different random systems, there's a shared mathematical structure, a kind of universal harmony or language governing how large-scale fluctuations behave. It hints that randomness isn't always just noise. Sometimes it has a very specific, predictable shape.
So the next time you're shuffling a deck of cards, maybe idly looking at a random sequence, pause for a second, think about those longest increasing runs hidden inside. And maybe, just maybe, remember that the pattern governing their length could be the exact same pattern governing the energy levels in a complex quantum system. It's quite a thought. Thank you for joining us on this fascinating deep dive today.